morning, saints. Morning. See if my microphone is on. We're on? Good. The message tonight or tomorrow, this morning is going to be, I was blind, now I see. We're going to be looking at John chapter 9, verses 13 through 41. If we go to the next slide. Last week, Pastor TJ started off our study of John chapter 9. And he preached on verses 1 through 12. We're going to do a brief review of some of that tonight as we look and explore the rest of this chapter. When I was in seminary so many years ago, I was taught, when you preach, tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. So if you hear it enough times, it usually sticks. So we're going to be looking at some of that, and tonight we're going to start by me telling you what Pastor TJ told us. So, and then we're going to go into these passages. If we could go to the next slide, please. As the American actress Betty Davis, that great spiritual leader, thanks, brother. As the American actress Betty Davis famously said in the 1950 movie All About Eve, fasten your seatbelts, it's going to be a bumpy night. So get ready. Now, we've got a lot of scripture to cover this morning. As no undertaking should begin without first asking the blessings of Almighty God, I invite you to join me as I pray. Great Lord and Savior, I pray that your blessing would be upon this message this morning, that you would be upon the speaker, and you would be upon the hearers. Lord, help us to live our lives for you, to glorify you, to honor you, and to follow you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, and I pray these things in your holy name. Amen. All right, now we'll go to the next slide. There is a very old proverb that reads, you can't eat an elephant in one bite, but you can eat an elephant one bite at a time. Well, we're going to take on an elephant. I hope you'll go along with me. There's going to be a lot of scripture that we're going to look at. Some of it we're going to look at from before. Some of it we're going to look at for the first time. And then we're going to look at it again and get an idea of what that's all about. We're going to, I just let you know, there's going to be a joke in the sermon, okay? And it may not be funny, but I would greatly appreciate if you'd laugh anyway when that comes along. I'll coach you when we get there. So, let's go to the next slide. Pastor and theologian Albert Mohler said that John chapter 9 preaches itself. We merely enhance God's witness. Nevertheless, I have, thanks to our beloved pastor, 29 verses of John to enhance, and we only have one solitary sermon. So I guess I better get started. So next slide, please. All right, we're going to talk about spiritual enlightenment this morning. Spiritual enlightenment is faithlessness, or faithlessness, ignorance, and darkness versus sight, salvation, and restoration. A couple of passages that may help us along the way is Isaiah from the Old Testament, 44:18. They do not know, nor do they understand, for God has smeared over their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot comprehend. We're going to see some people like this in our story today. And God said that those who lack faith cannot see. The second passage is from John chapter 6, verse 40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. That's where we're going with the message. In order to appreciate that, we're going to look at John, the author of this book. So let's go to the next slide if we could. This is a reminder of John's thesis statement for his entire epistle. When he penned this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he told us at the end of the book, this is why all of these things have been recorded. So if you're ever into the Gospel of John or reading any of the passages in John, one of the things that you should recall is his thesis statement. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John tells us that everything that we will look at now was written with one purpose in mind, to help guide us to one conclusion. His thesis statement for the entire gospel reads, "Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." His thesis statement is razor focused. He's leading us directly to what we're going to be looking at tonight. Now, Pastor TJ taught on the first few verses, first 12 verses actually in this book last week. And in order to appreciate where we're going to go tonight, we're going to do a little bit of a review of what he taught us. So if we could go to the next slide, we've got last week's text. This is John chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. We're going to go through it. "As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth." That's Jesus. And let me just give you some background. We're probably at the temple on the Sabbath. And it is the day of worship. And people are coming and going from the temple itself, going to the synagogue to worship. And the spiritual leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the entire Sanhedrin is probably around the temple at that time also. And there are lots of people. And right in the midst of it, you have beggars. These are the people who are down on their luck. These are the people who have got all kinds of difficulties, some of them physical handicaps, some of them mental handicaps, some of them just financial handicaps because of the needs of their families. And so they're there because they cannot find work, or that the work that they find is not adequate to meet their needs. And we're going to meet one of those people that's there begging at the temple. We're also going to find out that Jesus is going to send this guy to another place. And just for your information, if the temple is located within the walled city of Jerusalem, he's going to send him just outside the walls to a pool where he is going to ask him to wash himself, called Siloam. "As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him," these are Jesus' disciples, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" See, that was the common understanding. If you were born blind, either you committed sin or your parents committed sin. And so blindness was a curse. Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him." What a powerful, powerful message. He's telling us that these things, including physical handicap and physical blindness, were provided by a loving Savior in order to prove that he was indeed the sovereign Lord. Verse 4, "We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Let's go to the next slide. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, is not this the one who used to sit and beg? And others are saying, this is he. Still others were saying, no, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the one. So they were saying to him, how then were your eyes opened? He answered, the man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went away and washed, and I received sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. You see, he was blind when Jesus approached him. He didn't know how to even find him, how to look for him. And there's obviously a large amount of people that are around, and this man has suddenly just responded to the command that he was given. Now, one of the problems that you see here is, what is this inclusion of this spittle and the clay and all of these things? You see, we're going to talk more about it, but there is some writings called the Talmud, and we're going to discuss that a little bit later. But the idea was that this may not have been something that you would think was normal, but it was certainly considered to be part of the law of God. And so they had these rules that we're going to be looking at. And what's happened is that Jesus maybe kicked around the dirt a little bit, kind of a reddish sand, picked it up or spit in it, picked it up, massaged it into a clay, and he placed it on the man's eyes. And then he sent him for the miracle to be fulfilled. They said to him, where is he? And he said, I do not know. Next slide, please. Last week, Pastor TJ taught us, in God's providence, this man was blind so that God could display his love, that the world needed Jesus Christ. That was the purpose. In his message, he gave us three principles to take to heart. Number one, God is able to display his mighty works amidst pain and suffering. Number two, God allows suffering to show us our greatest need. And number three, God's gift of faith is given to those he elected. So we're going to be looking tonight about grace. We sang earlier, Amazing Grace. And how amazing it is. Now, grace is a word that often goes with mercy. Now, mercy, to define it, is not receiving what we do deserve. If you go to give your testimony in court and you throw yourself on the mercy of the court, what you're saying is, I know I'm guilty. I did whatever it is I'm accused of, but I don't want to have the consequences. I'm asking for mercy, to not receive what I do deserve. Grace is so much better. Grace is receiving something that we don't deserve. That's why the song we sang was Amazing Grace. So, let's go to the next slide. Here we are. We're going to pick up now where verse 12 left off. Next slide, please. So here we are in John chapter 9, beginning in verses 13. We're going to go all the way to 41. After what we just read, they brought to the Pharisees the man who was formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath. There it is again, the Sabbath. On the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And then the Pharisees also were asking him again, asking the man who was healed, how he received his sight. And he said to them, he applied clay to my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. We'll look at that a little bit more later. This man, Jesus, is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? and there was division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him since he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet." Now that's not what they wanted to hear. They wanted to hear him agree with the spiritual leaders. And when they asked him again and gave him the right and the opportunity to say the right answer, he said, "He is a prophet." Next slide, please. Verse 18, "The Jews then did not believe it of him, that he had been blind and had received sight." You see, they immediately are like, "Oh, no, no, no. If this is the case, this guy, this is a magic trick. This is a scam." You see, he couldn't have been blind and received sight. Why? Because he was giving credit to Jesus and calling Jesus a prophet. And they hated Jesus. "The Jews then did not believe it of him, that he had been blind and had received sight, until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight." There were probably many people there at the temple asking for alms, asking for help. And his parents were there too. In fact, we anticipate as we read on that this guy is fairly young, because the parents are going to turn their son, they're going to throw their son to the wolves. All right? "And questioned them, saying, 'Is this your son who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see?' And his parents responded. His parents answered them and said, 'We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself.'" Let me tell you, mom and dad are afraid of the spiritual leaders. They have no interest in saying something that they think would be contrary to what they've been told they're supposed to say. And their son is now of age. So they say, "Don't talk to us, talk to our son. He can answer for himself." Verse 22, "His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone, how quickly we are willing to give up friends and family for our own personal safety, if anyone confessed him to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue, the all-important place of worship, and out from under God's protection. For this reason, his parents said, 'He is of age. Ask him.'" Next slide, please. Verse 24 picks it up. "So a second time," boy, the pressure is really being put on this young man. They're putting the pressure on him. "A second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, 'Give glory to God.'" Now, this is not something that is like a preparation. It is a preparation. It's like, give glory to God. You know what the right answer is. Don't tell us the wrong thing. "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." Jesus. "He then answered, 'Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see.' So they said to him, 'What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?' He answered to them, 'I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again?'" This young man is pretty bold. "You do not want to become his disciples too, do you?" He knew that they weren't asking for the right motive. They didn't really want to know. He knew that they were looking for an opportunity to attack Christ. They were challenging him, and he challenged them. Next slide. Verse 24. "They reviled him and said, 'You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses.'" See, you're talking good about this Jesus guy, but we're disciples of Moses. We have the law. We have the Torah. We are those that are in spiritual authority. They reviled him. You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses. But as for this man, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, what a great response. Well, here is an amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from. You don't know where he's from? And yet he opened my eyes. If you're the spiritual leaders, why don't you know where he's from? He just performed this incredible miracle that's never happened in history. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. What an incredible testimony. They answered him, you were born entirely in sins, and are you teaching us? So they put him out. He didn't give them the right answer. And they accused him of being born in sin. In other words, they were mocking his blindness. Because you didn't tell us what we told you to tell us, they put him out. Next slide, please. Now we are in verses 35. Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, wait a second. First of all, when Jesus heard that this young man was being abused verbally and spiritually by these religious leaders, Jesus went and found him. Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. Now, I don't know if you could answer this way that this young man answered. I know for the first part of my life, I couldn't have said this. I had heard of Jesus, but he wasn't my Savior. It wasn't until I was in school and a friend of mine who I really admired came and started sharing with me the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus. And I can remember that night in February of 1972. I know, long before most of you were born. That evening, laying in bed, I invited Jesus Christ into my heart. I asked him for my salvation. You're going to find out that as this story progresses, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today may be the most glorious day in your life. Jesus said to him, you have both seen him and he is the one who is talking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. And we saw it happen right before us in this story. Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, we are not blind too, are we? They couldn't figure it out. We are not blind too, are we? Like you? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, we see, your sin remains. Jesus looked at them and said, yep, you're sinners. You're blind. Next slide. So let's talk about the Sabbath. Get some understanding of this. It's a word that we see all the time in Scripture, but you may not understand exactly what the Jews are referring to when they speak of the Sabbath. Now, it was on a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened the blind man's eyes. He, Jesus, applied clay to the blind man's eyes, and I washed, and I see. And some of the Pharisees were saying, "This man Jesus is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." What do you mean he does not keep the Sabbath? Well, let's find out. Next slide. First, we're going to look at some vocabulary words. You may have heard these words, but you never really knew what they were about. So we're going to go through it really quickly. Torah is a word that's used among the Jews, and oftentimes we've heard them speak of the Torah. It's the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And then there is the Talmud. The Talmud are rabbinic commentaries, traditions and laws written down by Jewish rabbis and scholars to make it easier for people to apply the Torah in their lives. So if you've ever read a passage of Scripture and said, "I wonder what this is really all about," well, if you're younger than me, you just pick up your phone and go on the internet. Back when I was growing up and a young Christian, we had to go to books. So the idea is simply this. You go and you look and see what other people have told you about this so that you can understand it. Well, that's what the Talmud was. And then there is the Mishneh Torah. It's a code of Jewish rabbinic religious laws compiled by Maimonides between 1170 and 1180. It's based upon Deuteronomy and intended to further the Talmud in living a holy life. Now, the Mishneh Torah wasn't going to be written for another 1,000 years. So it didn't apply here in John chapter 9, but I gave it to you as a bonus definition. Let's go to the next slide. The Talmud, with its many citations by many rabbis, even produced debates and friction between the Jewish leaders, in addition to their contempt for our Lord and his disciples. Now, just to let you know, here's the joke. Okay. On one occasion, some rabbis were arguing about whether an eye condition is serious enough to warrant setting aside the Sabbath prohibition to apply a medical salve. Why? Because the Talmud said you couldn't do that on a Sabbath. There were so many things that you couldn't do on a Sabbath. We're even going to look at some of those. According to one opinion, the salve could be applied only if someone had already prepared and possessed the herbal medicines prior to the Sabbath. Next slide. A second opinion stated that grinding the medicines and carrying them on the Sabbath is permissible for the sake of treating an inflamed eye. Not everyone agreed with this second opinion. One rabbi said, "Anyone who acts according to this opinion breaks the Sabbath." Ironically, sometime later, that same rabbi suffered from an inflamed eye on the Sabbath. He asked the other rabbis if treating his eye on the Sabbath was forbidden or permitted. They replied, "For everyone else, it is permitted, but for you, it's forbidden." Next slide, please. The Scriptures, the Talmud, and our Lord. Nevertheless, the words and actions of Jesus and his disciples were often challenged by the Jewish leaders, who cited the Talmud as their authoritative source for condemning them. Several of these so-called violations of the law, the Talmud, are recorded in Scripture. And we're going to look at two of these, probably stories that you've heard, but you may have wondered, I don't remember this being in the Bible. So let's look at them. First is Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Next slide, please. It happened that when he went into the house, this is Jesus, of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread, they were watching him closely. and there in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. And Jesus answered and spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they kept silent. And he took hold of him, the man, and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, the religious leaders, "Which one of you will have a son or an ox fall into a well and will not immediately pull him out on a Sabbath day?" And they could make no reply to this. The next passage, Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 to 7, says, At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of the grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he became hungry, he and his companions? How he entered the house of God, and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priests alone. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent?" Next slide. "But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire compassion and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent." And Jesus is quoting here Hosea chapter 6, verse 6 to these spiritual leaders, which reads, "For I delight in love rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." He's talking about the idea of what it really means to love, honor, and look to God for our guide in life. Next slide. Conclusion. All of this brings us back to the end of John chapter 9. Regarding John 9, 13 through 41, what lessons can we learn from this incredible narrative about our precious Savior and his involvement in our world and in our lives? Furthermore, how can any lessons learned from this text change us as we leave this place of worship and venture into a world that is hostile to the good news of our Lord and yet is desperate for his love and protection? Let's go to the next slide. So here are the lessons that we might be able to learn. These are not all of them, but these are the ones that I wrote down. Number one, we are unable to overcome or correct spiritual blindness without help from an external source. Sometimes, by the grace of God, all kinds of blindness can be healed, whether spiritual, emotional, or physical. Number three, corrected vision or miraculous sight or insight, when provided by a loving God, is forever true. Number four, all forms of what men see as impossible are possible when performed by God. Next slide. Five, God sees spiritual sight as superior to physical sight. Six, the thoughts of men, when contrary to the will of God, are subject to change. Number seven, it doesn't matter how long someone has been blind, God can heal anyone, including you and me. Eight, often what people consider impossible can become probable in the hands of God. Nine, God can take a permanent loss and turn it into a permanent gain. Next slide. 10. We never know when God may come to our rescue, regardless of how long we've felt hopeless. 11. There are always those who will try and say that someone's good fortune is wrong or a mistake. 12, there are always people around who tell us that God doesn't care. 13, never abandon hope, for hope is an expectation of good. And good promises ultimate good for his children. And finally, keep your eyes on the prize, regardless of your current situation. Next slide. May God add a blessing to the reading, to the hearing, and to the doing of his word. But before we go, next slide. Finally, this is Missions Month here at Living Word IT Park. Last week, we were reminded by Pastor TJ that 3.2 billion people worldwide have never heard the name of Jesus. 3.2 billion people. Not that they haven't heard the gospel. They haven't heard the name of Jesus. Don't go this next week without telling someone about Jesus. Share with someone the good news of eternal life, which can only be found by placing one's faith in the eternal healing and saving power of our Lord and Savior. He offers enough love and forgiveness for everyone. Next slide. Matthew 5, 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You, and myself included, are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Next slide. Don't hide your lamp under a bushel basket. Let the world see. Take the chance. Take the chance of sharing what Jesus did for you and has done for you and what he intends to do for you for eternity future. Don't keep it away from them. Honor him. Fulfill his great commission. And as we're preparing this week, we'll be looking at how we can do this from a mission standpoint. We already saw about Doulos, Hope, and how that is a mission organization trying to share the gospel. Make sure that you find out more about that. Take your family, take your friends to see. Next slide. Now again, may God add a blessing to the reading, to the hearing, and to the doing of his word. Amen.